Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. And thanks, Ira and everyone, for opening. And maybe you could turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 for starters. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you that you love us, and you prove that when you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to die on the cross for our sin, and that he was buried and rose again, and he is now seated at your right hand, interceding for us. And thank you that you've given us the earnest of your inheritance, the Holy Spirit, as a down payment. He dwells within us, and you've given us your word. Thank you that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I just ask, Lord, that you would speak through your word this morning. Use me for your honor and glory, that everyone could understand, that it would be simple and easy to follow. And just ask most of all that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might see a bit of a black eye here. That last week I was playing soccer, and it was for a good cause. Something to raise money for Shoebox Mission, from someone who's going somewhere. Anyways, I don't know those details too much, but our goalie decided to kick the ball in the air, and I thought when he did that, why did he do that? Because it was supposed to be off the ground. So it was really high up in the air. And then I was on the left side forward, and I thought, I'm going to trap this thing. And then it got in the sun, and then I was just blinded. And at that very instant, a guy from the other team came along, and I didn't see him at all. He went to head that ball, and he headed me right in the mouth here, upward, so my nose got turned a bit. I went down like a ton of bricks, and I guess it was cracked. So then I had a little whistle here because it was constricting a bit, the airway. So this past Friday, I saw the specialist in Stratford, and he looked at it, and he goes, well, not too bad, I guess, but yeah, I just told him it's a little restricted here. And he said, well, we could book you for next week, and you can go under, or, well, not many people like to do this, but I could keep you awake and just freeze the nose and try it and do it today. Oh, well, all right, so I thought, I'll try that. And then when he started to freeze it, I thought, oh, man, what did I do? Because these needles are going right in the nostrils. And anyway, I don't want to gross you out. But then he took this thing like a little pliers. He stuck it right up my nostrils. And all of a sudden, and I thought, hey, I can breathe. It was nice and clear. It pushed that little thing out again. And it was nice and open. So sometimes a little bit of pain and suffering is worth it. And maybe that's a spiritual application, but suffering is worth it sometimes. But let's get started here. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 12. And do you ever feel like your walk with the Lord sometimes is, well, not exactly what it could be, or you're wondering about some of the promises of God that, well, how is that going to go? And it doesn't seem so likely that this is going to happen. And, well, the Bible does say in Philippians 1 verse 6, knowing this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working in you and me. And we also have a God who quickeneth or makes alive the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Things that we would think, wow, that doesn't seem like it's so. But God calls some things which be not as though they were. And there's quite a few things like that. So let's consider the life of Abraham. And he was a man of God, a man of faith, and he had some outstanding promises made to him. And humanly speaking, they did not seem very likely to happen. So, first of all, Abram, his name was Abram, and that means exalted father. But God changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. The father of a multitude. So, this first part I kind of called. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. Let's just read that. And thinking a bit about the background here, Abraham, his father was Terah in Genesis 11, verse 31. And Terah took Abram from Ur of the Chaldees, and they went to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to the place called Haran and dwelt there. And according to Joshua 24, verse 2, they served other gods, Abram and his family. And so they were dead in trespasses and sins, just like we were. The same way he was lost. So starting at chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So, our walk with the Lord starts with him calling us and seeking us out. He sent out the good news, the gospel of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that came to you personally and to me personally. And we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. And if there's anyone here who does not know him as Savior, this is the start of a walk with God, being born again. We need to obey that call just as Abram did. Abram heard the Lord call him and obeyed. He turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. God made many good promises, outstanding promises to Abram. And I'll just list them here. There's six of them. First, the land of Canaan was promised to Abram. Second, he would become a great nation, which would be Israel. Third, his name would be great, and he would acquire much possessions. This was seen in his lifetime, actually. He would be a blessing to others, and that was seen during his lifetime, but it still carries on today. Number five, those who blessed him and Israel, his descendants, would be blessed, and those who curse him and Israel would be cursed. And you do see that even today. And number six, in thee, in Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And this is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Messiah, he being the descendant of Abraham. Hebrews gives us the New Testament commentary on this part of Abraham's life, what we just read. Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10. And if you'd like, you can turn to Hebrews 11, because we're going to be there a few times also, and keep your finger in it. Well, you don't have to keep your finger in Genesis, but Hebrews 11 there, verse 8 to 10, speaking of Abraham in this particular case. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, he had, by the eyes of faith, he looked ahead. Instead of just that he was going into another land, he looked for a city whose foundations hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Hebrews 11, verse 1 gives us a good definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's things that we don't see, but we know they're there because God says it. And it's by faith you believe what God says. Abraham was able, with the eyes of faith, to look ahead to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is the kind of faith God likes to see from us too. We also, in a sense, once we have trusted in Christ for salvation, set out on a journey of faith or a walk of faith in fellowship with Christ. And God did make those outstanding promises to Abraham here in this passage in Genesis 12. He says, I will make of thee a great nation, and in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. But you know, as it was recorded earlier in Genesis, Sarah was barren and had no child. So, humanly speaking, from a human standpoint, this seemed impossible. And unlikely. But with God, nothing is impossible. All that in thee, and the other promise that in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How would God do that? Well, we shall see. And those are some outstanding promises that God made to a real person named Abram who walked on this earth. You know, as believers, I thought, what kind of a comparable verse would maybe capture somewhat these thoughts to us? Like, what's there out there that we hear as a promise from God? And 1 Timothy 1, verse 9 came to mind. It says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That verse talks about the calling that we've been called. And this is all going to be worked out according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has this worked out that we're going to get there. And it's not like we're going to make some kind of efforts on our own to get it done. It's going to happen because of him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has done it all. Well, we're going to move on. Abraham went to Egypt and returned. Then he and Lot separated. I'm just kind of skimming over some of these areas of his life. And Abram moved to Hebron. Then Abraham rescued Lot, his nephew. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, blessed Abraham. Now let's turn to Genesis 15, to another part of Abraham's life, Genesis 15. And I'm going to read this passage, and I called it Covenant, Unconditional. I'm kind of trying to keep C's here, called Covenant. I'm not that good at this stuff, but trying to use it anyway. So we have here covenant, unconditional covenant. Okay, keep that in mind. So I'm going to read Genesis 15, verse 1, starting there. And these things, or after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I do go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed God, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's a key verse there. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each one piece, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And when it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed have I given this land, from the land of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So here we have a section where I called it covenant unconditional. And it's very interesting, really, because Abraham, no doubt, here is getting older and he's beginning to doubt. And he's still childless. So he offers God an alternative. And he says, this Eliezer of Damascus, he should be the heir. And God, the Lord, emphatically states, He that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And the Lord tells Abram to try number the stars. So shall thy seed be. And this is incredible because he has no child yet, and he's trying to help out the situation in his own strength with his own ideas, but God says, no, it's coming from you. And God has the plan, and he's going to do it. And descendants are going to be, or your seed is as like the stars. Try to number that. You can't. And this is an outstanding promise. And the great thing is that Abram believed in the Lord. He just simply believed. And he counted it to him for righteousness. God counted that faith for righteousness. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Things still look humanly impossible, but God said it. That settles it. Abraham believed it. That's the kind of faith God wants to see in us. God says it. That settles it. I believe it. This is an unconditional covenant God made with Abraham in verses 9 to 19. And I'm just going to read something here from William MacDonald. In his commentary, he writes, citing David Barron, another person, according to the ancient Eastern manner of making a covenant, both the contracting parties passed through the divided pieces of the slain animals. Remember those animals that were killed? The ram and the birds. And thus, symbolically attesting that they pledged their very lives to the fulfillment of the engagement they made. Now, in Genesis 15, God alone, whose presence was symbolized by the smoking furnace and lamp of fire, passed through the midst of the pieces of the slain animals, while Abraham was simply a spectator of this wonderful exhibition of God's free grace. I hope you kind of caught that, but the smoking furnace went through, and that was God. And Abram was in a deep sleep, and he got to hear and see all this, and he had nothing to do because he didn't walk through also. Only the Lord did. And there it's unconditional because it's based on God, not on Abram. And the things that the Lord revealed unto Abraham when he was in the deep sleep are astounding. The prophecy of the nation of Israel being afflicted 400 years in Egypt. Isaac wasn't even born yet right now. Isaac was not even born yet. That the Israelites would go out with great substance. They would leave Egypt with much because the Egyptians would give it to them. And in the fourth generation would come into the land of Canaan. That they would come back into the land where Abram was having this covenant given to him. All that God said happened, and exactly so. It happened exactly so. We have a God who quickeneth or makes alive the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Like for God, this was a done deal. It already happened. He explained the whole thing, and it's not even happened yet. That's incredible. As a believer in Christ, the Lord also has some astounding things to say about us. Maybe you feel like Abraham did, childless. Like, where's this going to come from? Like, how is this going to happen, Lord? Well, our Savior has done all the work. He made an unconditional covenant with us who believe in Him. Because He was raised, so we also shall be raised. And it is all in Christ. And we went through this morning a bit. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. We were dead. We had nothing we could do. Hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ, when He raised up Christ from the dead. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Again, we have a God who quickeneth the dead, makes alive the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. That's Romans 4:17. Well, even though God told Abraham all these exceeding great and precious promises, Abraham went ahead and listened to his wife Sarah. Well, that sounds a little funny, but I mean, listen to your wives. But in this case, he shouldn't have. She told him to go into Hagar, her handmaid, in hopes that Sarah may obtain children by her. Here's the efforts of the flesh again, and we're paying for it today with the whole offspring and the fighting. Here, Abraham did something dumb and childish. So here's the word childish. We also have exceeding great and precious promises, and we as children of God also do dumb and childish things too from time to time, don't we? Yeah, we do. We should admit it. Then the Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham and gave circumcision as the sign of the covenant. And then the Lord appeared, the pre-incarnate Christ, along with two other angels to Abraham. And now let's turn to Genesis 18, verse 1 to 15. Genesis 18. I'm hoping I'm not taking too many passages here for everybody, but I just want to kind of go through his life and show you how it's a little bit like how we have it too. So Genesis 18, verse 1 to 15. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abram, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, net it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran into the hearth, into the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. So here we have a section I called Child Promised, another C, Child Promised. Here, Abraham is living out Hebrews 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. He didn't maybe know it, but he was entertaining an angel. Angels. And he really exercised the gift of hospitality nicely here. the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate, was the guest along with the two angels. That's something, isn't it? The Lord gives a direct promise. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah had thoughts of doubt in her mind, and she laughed within herself. She was not even in front of the Lord at that moment, and visibly, but the Lord knows her thoughts, and he knows ours too. Later, when she is in front of him, he rebukes her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we need that gentle rebuke at times too, knowing that the Lord knows all things, and sometimes we doubt him. And maybe we think, yeah, that's, you know, almost laugh about things, but it's when God says something, it's true. Now, the New Testament commentary found in Hebrews 11, verse 11 and 12, if you have your finger there yet, you can look at that. But I'm going to refer to that, and it gives good comment on this section too, and it's incredible, because it gives Sarah a glowing report. Through faith, if you're wanting to get there. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's what God says. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, that's Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And I'm thinking, wow, the grace of God here is astounding, because we know how she laughed, right? And thought, yeah, can I have a child? Like, she laughed about it and doubted. But here she is in the Hall of Faith chapter. God chooses to remember it this way. He says that because she judged him faithful who had promised. I wonder how he comments on our lives. I think we might be pleasantly surprised, because maybe we do get down on ourselves too much too if we examine our lives. Like, we should examine our lives. But God looks at us and I think he takes the best and he out of the situation like he did here. We also read in Romans 4, verse 18 to 22, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. That's how Abraham's body in reality was, just about dead. When he was about 100 years old, yet neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's God. Abraham believed so strongly that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And again, with Abraham's life, we saw how he listened to Sarah and he went into Hagar. And that would be counted as quite a blunder. But God says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So God chooses to remember and see him as a man of faith, even though he did make some mistakes. And so do we. And let's praise God for that, the way he does look at us like that. And he did look at them. Now let's hear the application to our lives. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. At the end of the day, Abraham, though he had his faults, was fully persuaded and believed God. So we also have our faults and failures, and at the end of the day, as believers, are fully resting on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. All our salvation is wrapped up in Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All right, I don't know if I should continue on because it's 12 o'clock, but what do you do? Do you go on? I'll just refer to it. Daryl shared in the Lord's Supper about Genesis 22, and that's where I was going to go next. And I would title that Christ Crucified and Risen Again. And here, I'll just try to summarize. Abraham went up to Mount Moriah, and he was asked of the Lord to offer up his only son. And it's a real picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the trial of Abram's faith. He held nothing back, and he came forth as gold. You think of the verses in Peter where it says, knowing this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And Abram was tried here. And the Lord Jesus, he also commented on Abraham in this particular point in John 8, verse 56. He says to the Pharisees, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And I'd like to share a bit of this here. I wonder if Abraham saw the Lord Jesus Christ through the eyes of faith when, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Remember, he was going up to Mount Moriah? And by the eyes of faith, if he saw the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, there hanging on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. It has been said that this may have been the same place where Calvary was years later, Mount Moriah. Also, when he answered Isaac's question, behold, the fire and the wood, this is Isaac asking, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abram answered, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering, Jehovah Jireh. I wonder if when Abram lifted up his eyes and looked and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. If he did not think of God, who made the Lord Jesus sin for Abraham and for you and me, the Lord Jesus who knew no sin, that Abraham might be made the righteousness of God in him. Like through the eyes of faith, I think he was able to look ahead to the point where the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the promised one, would be made sin for us on the cross at Calvary. And I don't know, that's just thoughts that he said, the Lord Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And we also have some comments on Abraham here too, where he offered up Isaac, but he was stopped. In Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham had such a faith in God that, and it was mature, that, and it was tried to the max. He really trusted in the Lord that if he had to kill Isaac, God would raise him from the dead, even though no one knowingly had known of such a thing happening yet. And he reminded the Lord of the sacrifice of his only begotten son. Abraham did in what he was willing to do. Abraham's faith on trial was like a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Whenever anyone goes through a trial and the outcome is such that the person reminds us of the Lord Jesus, then God gets the glory that is due to his name. If you think about those five missionaries that were martyrs in Ecuador, how they went there and the Aka Indians killed them on the beach. And then after that, the wives decided to go into the tribe anyways. Well, that kind of like is out of this world, because nobody would do that unless it's the Lord working through them. And then people were born again when that happened. And I heard that story one time being told by one of the Indians who killed them, who was now an elder in the church there. And it really does bring tears to your eyes. It's incredible that that such a thing would happen. And that would be like a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. It's the ultimate sacrifice, and God used it to bring about a new church. People were born again and saved. And I mean, what that would just win any heart, I think. That kind of a, it's a picture of what the Lord did for us. So we've thought about Abraham's life and the exceeding great and precious promises he had to him. And I was going to do it, but I can't. There's no time. We have a whole ton of exceeding great and precious promises to us. And they are incredible. There's pages of it. I'll just read this song that is really based on a bunch of good verses that kind of speaks to my heart too. It's called How Great Is Your Love. And it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived the glorious things that you have prepared, that's the Lord, for everyone who has believed. You brought us near, he brought us near, God has, and you called us your own and made us joint heirs with your Son. That's just incredible. How high and how wide, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love, how lavish your grace, how faithful your ways, how great is your love, O Lord. The second verse, objects of mercy, who should have known wrath, that's what we deserved, were filled with unspeakable joy. We think of the Lord Jesus, whom having not seen we love, and we're filled with unspeakable joy. Riches of wisdom, unsearchable wealth, and the wonder of knowing your voice. God speaks to us through his word. You are our treasure and our great reward, our hope and our glorious King. How high and how wide, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love, how lavish your grace, how faithful your ways, how great is your love, O Lord. And I think I'll just close with that. And just want to thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the exceeding great and precious promises that you've given us in your word, that though they seem like they might not be possible at times, and we know that you are the God who calls those things which be not as though they were, because you know the end from the beginning. And we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who made it all possible, because our life is in Christ. All your promises are bound up in him, and we just thank you for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.